Living with diabetes is exhausting, both for our bodies and minds. It's not surprising that many diabetics struggle with the mental health side of this disease, including burnout and diabetes distress. We at the Diacast want to remind anyone who is struggling that you deserve all the help and support in the world. If you're struggling, please go to diacast.com/resources for a list of resources and links, diabetes support groups, ways to find therapists in your area who specialize in diabetes, and crisis lines. Diabetes is hard, and sometimes we all need a hand.
Hello, and welcome to this month's episode of the Diacast. This month, Amy and I are going to talk about one of our favorite topics, low snacks. Hi, Amy. How are you doing this month?
I am not bad. I just accidentally turned on a monitor that I didn't think was hooked up to my computer, so that took me by surprise. But I'm actually really glad we're finally doing an episode on something that's as simple as hypo treatments, low snacks, because let's be honest, that is kind of important and I think easy to gloss over because we talk about it all the time and
yeah,
we've never really dug into it much.
We've talked about, I know we've talked about it like a deep scientific level, but I don't know that we've ever sat down and said, other than shilling Snickers at every opportunity, I don't know if we've ever sat down and talked about like just low snacks, what they're good for and which ones we like and why.
Yeah, well, let's take, I don't know, 20-30 minutes and let's just do that. Why not? So before we get going, we'll do the blood glucose check. So Liz, what's your BG right now?
I am at 289, which is 16 millimoles even. I've got 7 or 8 units on board that are currently doing nothing.
Ugh, rude. And I am at 8 minutes remaining in my sensor warm-up. So,
oh, we'd love that.
Tis a mystery.
I look forward to you rudely breaking in 8 or 9 minutes and letting us know what it is.
We can just hack job cut it into the beginning of the episode.
I've done worse.
I feel like we're pretty good about making our hack job edits something adjacent to subtle. I'm proud of our skills.
Yes, absolutely. After, 2 years of doing this, we're getting kind of good at it.
All right. So, when we discussed this month's episode, Liz gave us homework, because of course she did. And that homework was roll in with 3 to 5 of your go-to low snacks.
That sounds like what I did, yes. Would you like to start or would you like me to start?
Well, I guess I'll give a little background, I guess, on low snacks, because this is the Diacast, and if we don't have diatribes, we're not on Diacast episodes. So we said bring a couple different low snacks, because not all low snacks are best suited for every situation. We've talked a lot in the past about the merits of protein, fiber, things that help kind of slow absorption and help keep your blood sugar a little more level and kind of stave off drops. And then there's the fast-acting sugars, like the glucose, that really treats a low blood glucose level, turns it around, and gets you up. So not all low snacks are created equal, and what I use to treat, changes depending on what my blood glucose is, what I'm doing, and how fast my blood sugar is dropping. That delta, that change between readings, is really pivotal when I'm making decisions about how I'm going to treat. Because if I'm just middle of the night plummeting fast, you best believe I'm just drinking OJ out of the carton from the fridge.
Yeah, for sure. Switching to sensors a couple years ago from just like finger sticks actually even changed how I approached and kept my low treatments and low snacks on hand, because before, you know, you wake up, you're low. My meter says 35. I'm just eating the pantry, right? But now I can take a look at my CGM, and I can see, oh, it's only a, you know, -1, -2 delta. You know, I've kind of hit the bottom. So a light treatment, some protein, I can go back to bed just fine. Sometimes I still eat the pantry, but it's less necessary now.
Yeah. And I do think there is merit. That eat the pantry response when your blood sugar is low, that is your fight or flight response. That is your body trying to keep you alive. So by all means, you may need to eat the pantry. You may need to grossly overtreat a low blood sugar because sometimes, for whatever reason, it takes a lot to get your delta, that trend, to start going back up. And that's okay. The trick, kind of like diabetes pro tip, is when you know you've overtreated a low blood glucose, it's okay. How I encourage you to take insulin for the overtreatment, or like part of the overtreatment, once your blood glucose has gone up enough that you're comfortable. So like I will horribly overtreat if I've got a really rapid drop. I know I'll overtreat. I'll take 45 grams of carbs. And then once it turns around and is back up around 70, I'll take, you know, 1, 1.5 units, just to help prevent that roller coaster that you can go on. When you overcorrect, you get high, but your body is still kind of sensitive to insulin because you were just low, and you can start that, just that whiplash, high, low, high, low. And it doesn't help that, you know, lows predispose lows. So it's kind of a terrible ride that it's really easy to get on. So if you walk away from this episode with nothing else, my suggestion is, if and when you overtreat, because we all do it, keep an eye on how much you overtreat by, and don't be afraid to take some insulin for the extra carbs that you used.
I should honestly take that advice more often than I do.
Yeah. Well, and honestly, that can be a very hard thing to do. Keeping track of how many carbs you're treating a low blood glucose with can be really hard. And that's actually one of the reasons I am a huge fan of prepackaged hypo treatments. So as we've kind of mentioned before, my default for kind of a standard low blood sugar is Welch's fruit snacks, just gummies. You know, it's a package, they come prepackaged. They can sometimes be hard to open, but 17 grams of carbs a package, you know what you're getting. And in the event of an overtreatment, you've got all the evidence strewn around so you can do a little math, figure out what the damage was.
Yeah, we don't talk about the evidence, but that is absolutely a thing that happens.
Yeah. One of the other things that I really like about the prepackaged, like fruit snacks really are, I have them everywhere. I have them in my desk. I have them in my computer bag. I have them in my work backpack. I have them in all my purses. I pull out jackets that I haven't worn since last season, and there's fruit snacks in the pockets. They're in my car. They keep. Honestly, I think they're better when they're a little bit stale. So they keep. They don't like melt into an amorphous blob of disgusting because, hey, preservatives. And I don't know. They're relatively forgiving. If you like sit on them, squish them, like I don't know. Fruit snacks for me are, as a default hypo treatment, they're really easy and they store well.
Yeah, I like fruit snacks. I think the problem I always have with them is I get the wrong ones. I think the Welch's ones are a good, you know, not to name drop any brands, but I always end up with, you know, off-brand or store-brand. And sometimes you get those gummies that, like, you just can't chew or just are super chewy. And those are awful
vegetal.
When you're low. Yes.
Yeah. No, I'm a snob with fruit snacks. I've done the same. I accidentally bought the, like, Gusher ones that had, like, a fruit filling. Yeah, I live in Alaska. It gets cold. Things freeze. You cannot just toss a packet of those liquid-filled gummies into your mouth and expect to not break your jaw when it is cold outside. Never again.
I hadn't even considered that reality. Yeah, I guess the topic of which snacks are your favorite is slightly dependent on your locale as well. Because, yeah, we don't get that cold or that hot or anything here in the Midwest. It just kind of is. Gushers just get gross anyway, though. Like, they don't keep like gummies do.
Well, anything that's going to, like, explode when subjected to, say, your body weight when you sit on it can be a little problematic, in my opinion.
This is very true.
Yeah. So what's your kind of default hypo snack list?
Yeah, I wrote down some options here. My number one go-to is actually Skittles. At Halloween time, you can get the bags of individually packaged Skittles, and there's something like 10 grams in one of those packets or something like that. So when I am going to the effort of trying to treat a hypo, you know, in a rational way, which is not often, it's very easy to do math when everything is 10 grams. You just start multiplying, right? So that's probably my go-to. You know, they're fairly stable. Even when they get a little stale, they melt pretty quickly. You can sit on them. You can throw them in anything. They just kind of are a good solid snack for me.
I think my favorite thing about Skittles is that they are 1 gram of carbs per. So if you trying to math Skittles, it's you need 15 grams, you eat 15 Skittles. You need 30 grams, you eat 30 Skittles. It's just really, really easy math.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they hit they hit pretty fast.
They do, yeah. I also, if I don't get the individually packed ones, I'm a big fan of Wildberry, which is like the purple pack. But I'm also a huge fan of sour Skittles because I love sour candy in general. The fun thing about sour candy as a low treatment is that it is self-limiting because when it is 2 a.m. and you are fixing a hypo, the last thing you want to do is eat a ton of sour candy. So you eat what you need to do, you get your blood sugar moving in the right direction, and then you just stop. So it actually, the sourness keeps me from eating too many more than I really need to get to fix a hypo.
That's self-regulation. It's all about finding tricks. So one of my things, and I don't know if this is 30 years of just ingraining and indoctrination or self-preservation, but anything that I use as a hypo treatment, with one notable exception, is not something that I enjoy eating. I do not eat fruit snacks in any context other than a low treatment. I don't drink orange juice in any context other than a low treatment. I have like a visceral association with them. And it helps me because it's like I don't have the temptation to graze and consume my hypo treatments and then not have hypo treatments, which is one of the reasons I don't use Skittles, because I would eat them all.
Yeah, it's difficult for sure.
Yeah. So when like I have really rapid blood sugar drops, or if I've got a low that will not turn around, my treatment kind of changes. I'm not going to be using fruit snacks. Well, they're fruit puree, so they've got corn syrup as their primary, and whatever corn syrup is, it's probably a fructose. It's probably fructose and sucrose as the sugars in them.
Yeah.
And, you know, you may remember from one of the Diacast lectures, 1,000,006, if the fastest hitting sugars are going to be glucose, and not all sugars hit kind of the same. They're all going to ultimately have the same effect, but some of them just need more time. So for really fast drops or really severe hypos that are not like a really just like a V shape, they drop, they bottom out, and then they skyrocket back up. I use a glucose gel that's called a Transcend gel. And again, pre-packaged, you know, 15 grams per gel. And they're actually engineered to treat low blood glucose level. They're designed for runners. And they're actually intended to be taken, you know, you eat a Transcend gel, get your glucose up, get that 15 grams of glucose, and then you take a different gel, something that's got a little bit of protein or fiber in it to help keep you up. Because the glucose is kind of a flash in the pan. It'll turn things around, but it's gone fast. So I'm kind of a shill for the Transcend gels just as an active diabetic because they hit really fast.
They do.
But they don't stick around.
I used similar when I biked, was doing a lot of distance biking. An interesting thing I was just thinking about as you were talking about that is everyone should look at the cost of those gels or like those glucose treatments versus the cost of just glucose tabs or the things that are made for diabetics, because it is essentially the same thing. But there are a lot of ways to get those runner's gels or those cyclist gels or whatever they are a lot cheaper than just diabetic treatments.
Yeah. Pretty much anything that's marketed explicitly to like treat diabetes or really anything, if it's targeted at a medical condition, you can bet you're paying more money than you need to. But that said, the glucose gels are pretty expensive. Best advice I can give is go on Amazon and buy them in bulk. If you buy, or I buy them like 100 at a time, and it ends up being about 80 cents a gel. It's not cheap. If you buy them and if you buy them individually, they're like 175 a gel. So it really is a, you got to kind of do the math over how many you want and how much you treat them. And they do last kind of indefinitely.
Yep.
They don't taste great. They taste like a gel. The texture can be extremely off-putting. So that is one of the things
that
I guess I caution. Try gels before you commit to them.
Yeah, that goes back to your note earlier about keeping your treatments that are not particularly delicious and only used in emergencies so they don't disappear. And just the note, I know Amazon's a great resource. If you happen to have a Costco membership or a friend with a Costco membership, I am pretty sure they have a house brand as well. We'll have to go look after we do the, or when we do the show notes. But
That I've seen for the glucose gels. They definitely have a whole bunch of house like protein shakes and stuff. Which are not bad because protein is your friend for keeping your blood sugar up after a low treatment. Gasp.
Yeah. All right. So we talked about something off of my list. What's the first one on your list?
Well, I kind of commandeered this episode already. Yeah. So I rolled in my homework list. I came in with the fruit snacks, the Welch's fruit snacks, the Transcend gels, which are my oh shit hypo treatment. And then the other hypo treatment that I default to is actually Nutella out of the Costco size jar with a teaspoon.
Don't feel bad about that one. I have peanut butter out of the jar with a tablespoon as one of mine.
So I mentioned that I had one hypo treatment that I will eat just because it's delicious. Yeah, that is Nutella. So one of the really good things about Nutella for me is because it has a lot of protein in it, all things considered. So it's really carb heavy and sugary. You know, 1 tablespoon is 11 grams of carbs. So if you like take a heaping, like a, one of the smaller like teaspoon, just like for eating cereal or whatever, and you just take one of those, you end up with a tablespoon of Nutella on there. That's 11 grams, give or take. Or 15 if you're me and make it loaded. So Nutella, it is chocolate based. So it is not something that's great at fast turnarounds of an already low blood sugar. I tend to use it if I'm coming out of a workout or a run, something where I've been active. I know I'm trending down, and I'm trying to kind of raise the floor of wherever I bottom out. So I'm relying a little bit on the protein to slow the absorption of the sugars. And, you know, I frequently will end up, you know, whatever, 65, but it doesn't stay there. And then it kind of goes up and isn't deeply problematic the way it might be if I treated with like fruit snacks, which don't have the protein. So I could treat with fruit snacks, you know, whatever, a little bit later than I would hit it with Nutella, but I'd get lower. I'd rebound fast. Ultimately, I'd probably end up about the same, but I just don't get as low if I can get in front of it and hit it with something that's got some protein. It's the same thing with Snickers. Like the little mini Snickers are like 11 or 12 grams of carbs. They're perfect for, you know, popping one in your mouth and getting in front of a low that you know is coming.
Yeah, and it helps keep that curve from having such a sharp drop, sharp rises. Definitely helps you feel better at the end of it too, because when I get on that roller coaster, I know I feel awful for hours afterwards. But my I have peanut butter on my list for exactly the same reason. Whenever I'm treating like a really, really persistent or tough low, it'll be something fast like Skittles or whatever I have on hand, and then a couple tablespoons of peanut butter, which I also is delicious and will eat without being low. But, you know, the proteins and the fats help slow things down and helps hit a more stable curve more quickly than if I'm just taking glucose.
Yeah, I know we've had several guests on the Dietcast who talk about using milk to treat. Again, same principle. You're hitting it that's with something that's got carbs and it's got those like fats and proteins, so it lasts a little bit longer. The thing with the fast acting sugars, you know, the juice, the fruit snacks, the, you know, glucose gels or glucose tabs, they take care of it now. It's like triage, but they're not giving you any buffer. So you need something that's either like a complex carb or something that's got some fats and proteins that your body can, you know, digest and, you know, absorb, convert into energy, convert into glucose in your bloodstream, but it's a slower absorption to help keep you up. Especially if you've had a couple severe hypos or if you've been just sitting a little bit low. Lows predispose lows, and that's because the glycogen stores in your liver and in your muscles get depleted and they take time to rebuild. So running low can definitely just snowball.
Yeah, 100%.
So what else did you have on your list, Liz, since you actually came in with five?
Yeah, well, I realized that, so two of them are really close to Skittles in my answer. I love Sour Patch Kids for similar reasons as a low snack. You know, you can't just, I mean, I can sit and eat sour candy all day, but again, at 2 a.m. when I'm treating the lows, because usually when I get lows, they're like 2 a.m. And then mini Starburst are in the same vein. I usually get the sour ones. and you just, you know, and those again, if I have the spoons to deal with it, I can actually count them out fairly easily, get some accurate numbers, and then correct. But my wild card, and really one of my favorite things to have on hand for lows, is Oreos. Oreos are an interesting one because they're a little fattier, and they're, you know, they're also hard to overeat, but they're also slower at raising your blood glucose. So, but I find
I think you're eating Oreos wrong.
I mean, I've definitely sat and demolished most of a flat of gluten-free Oreos trying to deal with a low because that's what I happened to have in the apartment at the time. But I have found that the Oreo curve is less less severe than like the candy curve, and generally lands reasonably well as long as I don't massively overtreat in any way.
Yeah, I guess ultimately for me, one of the driving factors in my hypo snacks really is how well does it store and travel. I'm not great about treating my belongings with a lot of care. You know, I throw things, I sit on them, I'll throw a water bottle in something, like. So I can't travel really with cookies or anything that can get crushed because I'll just destroy it. And then no low person is functioning at the point where you're able to carefully pick out crushed cookies and consume them without just wearing them, donating them to the floor. So I, you know, again, that's sort of me being me, you know, liking the fruit snacks and the gels and the Skittles, stuff in small prepackaged, grab and go. And even then, there's some benefit to having the packages because, you know, if you're in a situation, you're like, I need somebody to get this for me. You can give direction. You can be like, hey, can you grab the Skittles out of my purse? Just all of them. Or, yeah. You know, what have you?
Well, that was fun. I love talking about candy. I could do that all day as well. And I, of course, I do have, you know, the air quote boring stuff as well. I've got glucose powders and glucose tabs, and I have a 6-pack of full octane cherry Coke in my fridge for the really bad stuff. Well, Amy, do you have any other thoughts to close out this wonderful episode of the Dietcast?
I really don't think so. You know, just the reminder, the only good low snack is the one that you actually have on you. Please carry them. Get your friends to carry them. If you're out in public with a gaggle of diabetics, carry extra, because we've all shared low snacks. I've eaten DJ's butt Skittles. He had them in his butt pocket, not anything weird.
Not weird at all.
Not weird at all.
Definitely not a weird way to phrase that.
They were warm.
You know, warm Skittles are kind of fun, though, because they get a little smushy.
Yeah, I was not prepared for warm Skittles.
Oh my.
Anyways, but anyway. Yeah. Gotta carry them with you. They only work if you carry them. And, you know, if you overtreat, that's okay. Oh, one more thing.
Sure.
Just the reminder, general rule of treatment for hypo treatment. 15 grams of carbs, wait 15 minutes. If your blood glucose isn't trending up, 10 to 15 grams of carbs, wait 15 minutes, rinse and repeat until you start going up. Now, it may take a little bit longer depending on your digestion. I've got gastroparesis. I don't typically treat a second time until I'm about half an hour in because I have that diabetes complication. That's not a starting point for most people. 15 grams, wait 15 minutes. If you end up having to take 45 grams, 60 grams of carbs to just kick it off, that's okay. You can always take a little insulin or go for a walk or something. And the other kind of weird counterintuitive trick is sometimes if your hypotreatments don't seem to be kicking in at all, moving around a little. I'm not talking about going for a walk. I'm talking about like standing up and shaking yourself out and maybe walking around the room. Just getting blood flow to encourage your body and your systems to start actually working.
Yeah, don't be...
And now I'm done.
Yeah, yeah. No, don't be me. Don't lay in bed and take the corrections and hope that they do anything. Never done that. Not once. But thank you, Amy. Always a pleasure. This was a fun one. And I look forward to talking to you and our wonderful fans again next month.
Yeah, thank you, Liz. Happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
Living with diabetes is exhausting, both for our bodies and minds. It's not surprising that many diabetics struggle with the mental health sides of this disease, including burnout and diabetes distress. We at the DiaCast want to remind anyone who is struggling that you deserve all the help and support in the world. If you're struggling, please go to diacast.com/resources for a list of resources and links, diabetes support groups, ways to find therapists in your area who specialize in diabetes, and crisis lines. Diabetes is hard, and sometimes we all need a hand.